you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey there, welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, we celebrate The Force Awakens one Sandy minute at a time.
Sandy.
I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
Hey, I'm Virgil Texas, co-host of Chapo Trap House.
I am also from that program, and my name is Matt Christman.
Welcome back, fellas.
Good to be back.
Thank you.
Glad you could join us for minute 17 of episode 7, The Force Awakens. Minute 17 starts off with Rey warning BB-8 to stay off Kelvin Ridge.
Get off my property.
And it ends a minute later with Kylo Ren telling Poe he's the best star pilot in the galaxy.
And I want to know, what is the rubric they're using to determine that?
Maybe
is it K to death ratio? Is it number of ships shot down? I mean, do they have the metrics on
this? No, it's just that he survives. I mean, the mortality rate for these battles that you see is like upwards of 40%. I mean, resistance pilots are just getting wasted constantly. And if you're the best pilot, that just means you survived three battles. Hmm. Your statistical aberration.
Wow, that is a high fatality rate.
Yeah, you see it.
That's true.
It's true. A lot of them end up getting blown up.
I'm assuming that it's like, you know, those restaurants that have like Time Out New York Best Pizzeria 2013 and they still have it up. So it's like that.
And by
like
the way,
Poe Dameron was like Time Out Coruscant labeled him the best pilot in the Resistance.
Original Poe Dameron.
30 ABY.
Original famous Rey.
I will say, whenever I'm watching one of these movies and I see a pilot die, I see you know, a rebellion or a resistance pilot just get blown up, and it's usually like a close-up shot of and then he just explodes, and like they're in the cold nothingness, vacuum of space. I just think that is terrifying. That is gotta be the worst way to die. I would take drowning over that 100 times.
Out of all the Star Wars deaths.
And I just watch it, and I think, well, that person is dead. That was a human being with an inner life, a soul, ambitions, and you just died.
Another victim of these cursed Star Wars.
When will they end?
Is it only the pilots? Like, do you feel that way when people just got like shot with a laser?
No,
gun?
I don't, because there's something uniquely terrifying about space. Yeah. What if they held a Star War and no one came?
There you go.
What is the worst death in the Star Wars films?
Sarlacc pit, probably.
Yeah, slowly being digested over the course of 1,000 years.
I still don't get that. Does that mean you're alive for 1,000 years? Does it somehow keep you alive?
Yeah, kind of.
It also
terrifies you, right? You're in kind of a waking death.
I don't know. It seems like if you were alive for 1,000 years, even in the stomach of a Sarlacc, you could like become some sort of evolved mega being.
Well,
there
I mean,
you
this
get used to anything like, after enough time.
Well, this isn't canon, but I remember those big coffee table size. I think they're called eyewitness books.
Oh yeah,
and they just had like those, you know, big. Yeah. And they did one on Star Wars, and they had like a full cross section of the Sarlacc pit, and just all these gory details about it. Mm-hmm. And it does keep you alive and conscious to some extent.
Wow.
I mean, it does sound like a biblical punishment.
Well, then you can, if you were slowly digested for, let's say, 800-900 years, then you can make your escape and then go claim your world's oldest person.
Exactly. You're basically not only that, but you've learned so much through the mm-hmm. eons, the deathless eons, that you're sort of like you're basically a god emperor.
There you go.
You're like Paul Atreides to mix your sci-fi properties.
I've been meaning to ask you guys this. What do you guys think about The Force Awakens
overall?
Yeah, I mean, this is the 17th one of these, and you know, we just came in on yesterday's episode, and I don't know. I mean, I'm just curious what your macro view is of episode 7 and 8.
So far, we've been saying that it's great to have this ahead of us. That there's like, hey, we're back to kind of addressing movies that are,
well, it's good for your show that it didn't have to end.
Well, that too. The cash cow keeps rolling on. But the fact that it's, you know, almost universally, at least most people are like, yeah, that was pretty good, at least, or that was great, you know, somewhere in that zone, versus like, you know, the last three seasons we were doing stuff where, you know, some people love them, but a lot of people not so love. So,
well, I mean, I'll give it right now. And I was maintaining this controversial opinion before it became a meme. And I still maintain it. I'll probably maintain it to my dying breath. The prequels were better than the new trilogy.
Whoa, you're
that's it. No, they're better in just one certain sense, that they were unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, I view the new trilogy as pablum. It's just regurgitated pablum.
Corporate.
It's
audience tested.
It's nostalgia feedback stuff. And you know, the other night we just came back from tour, and we were in Baltimore, and I wanted to watch Force Awakens, you know, prepare for this, and it wasn't on Netflix, so I had to settle for Last Jedi, and just as bad as I remembered it, just freaking boring, asinine, what's the word here? I don't know, plotty?
Having Jar Jar Binks, is that what you're
It has about? That modern...
There's not enough Binks?
It has that this modern like action movie Binks. Thing of like...
Virtually Binkless.
So much dialogue that's just, we have to do X, explain. Oh, right. Now we
what,
have to do Y.
What Virgil wishes is for all those scenes instead to have a Jamaican lizard man getting into hijinks.
It was, you know, I was very young when the prequels came out, so I gather one of the criticisms was, this isn't the same as the original Star Wars. Everything's different. And I'm saying that's the novelty of it. That's what George Lucas wanted to do. It's like, no, it's no Millennium Falcon. No, we were making entirely new ships and crazy new planets. Of course, you know, it's very flawed, dialogue's very poor, because George Lucas is just a baffling man, just a... Mm-hmm. Kind of an idiot, but just, I don't know, I can appreciate it in the way I can appreciate Henry Darger.
I see what you mean. Yeah, because
it's art brute, right. Is what it is.
We've had at least one guest come on and say that all the Disney films are all fan fiction, that the original trilogy and the prequels are like the real deal, one man's vision and so on, and then after that it's kind of like a you know.
And as well, I mean, the overarching message of the prequels, it's a genuinely good and true and fundamental message about how desire and attachments corrupt you.
It's what we found in covering it extensively for the better part of 3 years was that the prequel trilogy, what the original goals are, what the ideas are, and then and what's on screen, there's a big valley between those two. And then, you know, we kept kind of saying, well, this, you know, there are ideas here, and there are, you know, there's certainly concepts, and there are certainly, like, even if you took kind of this script as is, which gets, the script itself gets a lot of flack, and whether or not it's deserved, it's also like, even if you just took that same exact thing and handed it to a different director, a different kind of creative team, I think you would get perhaps a more satisfying on-screen result. But
perhaps, but I also like the idea of seeing George Lucas's idiot vision. I mean, I'm kind of delighted by that.
That's his new series.
It would be
Netflix
like...
Netflix series.
But I mean, if I could, I would give $100 million movie budget to just a random dunce just to see what they would do, and I would probably be delighted by that.
Well, I know you were very excited to hear what George Lucas's idea would have been.
Yes. So the George Lucas's, if he had gotten the keys to make the new trilogy, would have made it.
Well, if he hadn't given them away.
Well, right.
Well, with the...
Well, he probably... I don't know if he could have even gotten funding for it.
He handed it over to them with this, like, list of so it's like, all right, well, here's what my outline for 7, 8, and 9. So you could use that if you want. And kind of, like, passive-aggressive, like, here's where I think it was going.
Matt does
but
a good Lucas,
here are the keys.
Oh, we just we're thinking. What if we went? If everyone loves midichlorians, what if we went to the midichlorian realm and you're fighting inside a body and it's basically like
Osmosis Jones Star Wars? I would have loved that. I would have seen that 10 times.
You say it, and then it shows up on screen,
and it's crazy.
You
it's
can't
nuts.
Even get through it.
No, I would get through it because it's just nuts. There's parts of it that are so moronic that it's just kind of campy fun.
I mean,
and then other parts of it that do look good. I mean, that's the other thing about the prequels. Parts of it do look good and are exciting. Like the beginning of episode 3, that entire battle sequence is great.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. You make this argument and it's persuasive intellectually, but then I remember sitting through these just interminable all CGI battle scenes where nothing means anything. You don't know what anything is. It's just a bunch of bleep blorps and lasers, and it's Obi-Wan Kenobi riding a Gila monster, and you just, this is not good to watch.
General Grievous was cool, and the fact is, you don't think so. So if you don't think General Grievous was cool, then okay, that's a fundamental bridge that we cannot. We can't compromise over that because he's cool.
It's a Kuhnian incommensurability.
He's cool. He has 4 lightsabers. He collects them.
That's pathetic.
He's neat. I love him.
It's like Otto for The Simpsons designed a villain for Star Wars. You know those lightsabers are like quad lightsabers?
And he also spins them around like almost like an insect might.
That's I'm still holding out for the Star Wars film with no lightsabers, because that's we've gotten close so many times, and I would like to see that, because as much as, you know, I'm not anti lightsaber, I'm not anti Jedi, I think that that's an important part of the Star Wars mythos, but we've done that so much that I would love to see just like,
where's the lightsaber in Solo?
It's a spoiler near the end. I guess by the time this comes out, it's out on Blu-ray and digital, so we don't have to.
I went to take a leak at the end of Solo.
Yeah, the very end of Solo, there's a character who shows up with a lightsaber.
Oh wait,
on
the
phone.
But he doesn't like do it. What is he just like playing with it while he's on
it's
the phone?
It's literally just here's a lightsaber. Yeah. In case you forgot what they look like.
Because they knew that I wanted a Star Wars movie without a lightsaber, and so they're just like right before, like, oh, before we go, it's like, you know, Ferris Bueller coming out. Oh, you're still here? I almost had it.
Well, that basically counts. But to bring my original point back to this movie, obviously the prequels were bad in a certain sense. They were bad movies with very obvious flaws. Mm-hmm. That being said, they did rise in my esteem after watching the 2 films of the new trilogy.
Hmm.
Now, were you excited for them, like when they were coming out and stuff? Were
the
you
prequels
like,
or the new trilogy?
The new ones.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, the trailer for this looked great. And there's obviously fun parts in this. I mean, the one part watching Last Jedi that I really thought was cool was the Rey and Kylo fighting the Emperor's guards.
Yeah.
They were fighting Snoke's guards.
The throne room battle is...
Now, that was a genuinely fun battle. But everything else is just a mishmash of nonsense.
We're contractually not allowed to talk about that for another 2 years. But I can at least just be like, yeah. And give a thumbs up.
And of course, as regular listeners of Chapo Trap House would know, the porks.
Right.
Delightful.
Do you like the porks?
Just a delight. Mm-hmm. Great thing. If I could salvage 2 things from that movie, it's that fight scene and the porks.
All right.
There you go.
Well, speaking of adorable things, we got BB-8 here.
Mm-hmm. R2-D2, but round.
Mm-hmm. He's cuter. Like, elevate the cuteness like another 20%. There he is.
Enhance.
Yeah, and in this minute particularly, you can hear BB-8 purring.
Yeah.
When Rey's like, oh, see you later, and he's like...
Oh, that's a good purr. Oh, good digital purr.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that. I never noticed it until I was listening to it like on headphones.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice that in the theater.
Hmm.
But
yeah, this my note for this is BB-8 is at his most Charlie Brown's teacher here. Like this is a very kind of like, you know, there's a whole dialogue going on between, we were talking about, like, what did he just say? Because he's just going like, and she's like, no, she's doing the, you know, the Bob Newhart part where she's just like, no, you can't come with me. She's like, well, what's that? Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting, like, BB-8 sounds continue to
what kind of
tell
weirdo,
a large part of the story.
What kind of complete freak who's been living alone on this blasted hellscape for years sees this adorable little round friend who she could talk to and is like, get out of here. I'd rather be alone.
That's
all
true. Why
the
does
time.
She
want
to get rid of him?
Also someone who sells scrap, salvage for subsistence.
Yes.
Right.
And it's like if she found one of these BB-8 units, I don't know, BB units, I suppose?
Sure.
That was, you know, not chirping and alive, but still salvageable, and sold that. Like, that would be amazing. You know, hitting the mother load.
Right. Well,
sell it.
It's her heart. This is what this scene demonstrates is that she's got a soft spot for both.
I would just like once to see a character like that encounter a new friend in their travels, and instead of pretending to be too cool, just be like, hey,
aww,
awesome. I got a little buddy now. Let's go home. I'll show you all of my scraps.
It's like Misery.
Yeah, that's exactly. What
and then like BB-8's trying to leave the whole time, and Ray's
like, that's a very cool pile of garbage, but I have a mission. She's like, no, wait a minute, I have another pile of garbage behind that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ray tells BB-8 to stay clear of the Kelvin Ridge. Mm-hmm. This is, of course, J.J. Abrams drops a reference to Kelvin into all of his projects because his maternal grandfather, Henry Kelvin, was a big influence on his early life. And so that's in Star Trek, you have the Kelvin timeline, where it's the USS Kelvin created that rift and all of his other, like the guy in the hatch before Desmond was named Kelvin. And
I thought he was a big fan of the temperature measurement.
Yeah.
Thought he was just anti-Fahrenheit, anti-Celsius.
Celsius.
Anti-Celsius. That was from the...
You're Roman? Is that what's happening
yes,
now?
Yes, Celsius.
Kicker.
Hail Kaiser. Kaiser.
And the sinking fields, which sounds very like fantasy. It sounds kind of like never-ending story.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a thing. Like,
Dark
avoid
crystal.
The sinking fields.
Yeah.
The fire swamp from Princess Bride.
There you go.
Yeah, totally.
And we'll see the sinking fields later.
This scene is also a kind of a reverse of a, what did we come up with? What were we going to call it? Mirror echo scenes? That
we're just going to pile all of the adjectives that are close to what we were talking about.
But anyway, it's a kind of reverse of it because this time you have a droid making friends with someone in the desert and going off together as opposed to Star Wars where it was two droids who started off together and went in opposite directions. So it's a twist. That's what made it clever.
They do the twist.
It's like poetry. Yeah. It rhymes.
Yeah. Totally. That is a good Lucas.
One I love also that they're having this whole conversation, and then they decide, okay, well, they're, you know, all right, fine, you can come with me. And then, like, as we see the different shots of them kind of continuing this, you still see Tito slowly walking away on the Lugabees. Like, I feel like, I'm sure other movies, you know, it's a practical effect, sure, I think. They're just erasing some guy in green screen with sticks, but.
Yeah. Dennis DeYoung?
Yeah. The fact that they thought to leave that in there, it's like, oh, I like that. That tickled me on this. Because it's like, of course, he's moving slowly. He would still be there. It would be fun to just kind of keep cutting back to him for a while.
Although if Tito is still there and she's like, okay, BB-8, see you later.
What seems like Tito from just turning
around. Yeah, it seems like a second later, Tito would just be like, right. would turn around and just pick him up.
Well, it depends on what Teloma Parkwell means.
That's true. Anything else before we switch over to the adventures of Poe Dameron?
I think that's it.
All right.
We
go back to Jakku later in the week, so we can...
Yeah. I wrote more and loud, and I don't know what I meant by that. So
faster, more intense.
Yeah, that's probably what I meant.
So we go back on the finalizer, the Star Destroyer run by Kylo Ren.
Looks like an evil giant Dorito.
Yeah. Like a giant Dorito.
It's still the... I blinked. It's still the Star Destroyer Empire design.
Slightly different.
Slightly different. Slightly upgraded.
It has like extra like layers or things.
They got racing stripes on the side.
Right.
To make it look cooler.
They've got speed holes.
Drink holes.
It's got some kind of like the way skyscrapers to be like, well, it was this tall, but we threw some antennas on the top and now it's the tallest. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's got some like three antennas sticking out of the front.
Hmm. Are these all newly constructed? Or since the Empire disintegrated?
All of
their Star Destroyers were destroyed. By.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are they building all this stuff?
Why?
I think that's what Episode 9 is going to show you.
The shipyards?
But, I mean, how does this thing that's like starts off as an insurgency against the New Republic, where the heck do they get all this... resources.
Honestly, just rewatched Episode 8, I think Episode 9 is just going to be a recapitulation of that Eisenhower speech about the military-industrial complex. Because, I mean, that's what they hint at in the third act of that movie. No, there's a cabal playing this... pulling the strings here.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Someone's getting rich off this
current political climate. You're asking how they're finding money to fund fascism.
No, but I mean, but they're not a power at the beginning. Presumably, they're defeated remnant. That's what I don't understand.
After the end of the
right,
Galactic Civil War.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, then they regroup.
The comeback. I can't picture it as the thing. I can't conceive of how it happened.
I mean, there's still...
Snoke is loaded. He's got that gold suit and everything.
I imagine there's still... it's a big galaxy. I assume there's some residual support for some planets, especially ones that don't want to rejoin the Republic. As well, they still have this military that's probably still mostly clones at that point who are, you know, loyal because of it. You know, because of the like a chip in them, and
a giant Dorito,
right? And as well, they go to the lawless outer rim, right? That's where they regroup, where I don't know, they can just terrorize people, they can act like a gang,
yeah,
and then eventually make a name for themselves, get some funding.
I mean, it's probably no more.
The Kickstarter
ludicrous.
Was very successful.
Yeah, it's no more. Yeah, they have a great Patreon going. That's no more ludicrous than the Iron Bank betting on Stannis.
I thought
a literary analogy.
At least that was explained, even if you might not buy it. At least it had been established.
Well, we keep saying we're hoping that they're going to do a Ken Burns style documentary about the Star Wars universe, just so we can, because we don't know anything about like how the Republic works or how the First Order works.
It's never made any sense. None of it has ever made any sense.
Right.
Just on like on the ground level.
So what you're saying is you want more movies where they examine kind of like banking and trade negotiations.
Well, see, but that's just the thing.
Taxation.
They say taxation of trade routes is in dispute. And then over the course of three films, you never find out which side is on which side of the issue of trade routes and taxation of them. They literally never even go beyond that.
It's control of the trade route.
It says taxation of trade routes is in dispute, and that's the only information you get for three films. They never even tell you who is the trading person, who's being traded upon, who is being taxed, who's doing the taxing. Never explained.
Well, here's the gist of it. The Galactic Republic was very, very old and kind of set in its ways. Mm-hmm. And
too old.
You know, upstarts like the Trade Federation, mm-hmm. they...
Disruptors.
Right, right. Essentially, yes, disruptors, they're opposed to this red tape and bureaucracy that prevents them from forging new trade routes and having control over them. So they resort to violent means. Mm. Also, all of this is instigated by the Sith.
So it's all about NAFTA.
It's basically the Boston Tea Party. It's basically the same rationale.
Because they were the bad guys.
The Trade Federation is getting taxed without representation. They do have a Senate.
Well, no, the Boston Trade Party, essentially the American Revolution, was a revolt against mercantilism. It was a revolt against the favoritism shown to the East India trade.
Yeah, it wasn't about taxation of tea. It was about a monopoly on tea.
No, it was literally a bourgeois revolt.
Yes. But one way or the other, we never get any of this information in three of the Star Wars movies.
It's true. It's not like there wasn't time.
All there was people sitting on future sofas talking to each other about how sand feels worse than them. Well, plenty of time to explain some of this stuff.
See, these gaps now, that represents opportunity. So now we can go in. We can pitch this. To just take some American Revolution era stories, go find some of the good, borrow from the best period pieces, and just make it into a Star Wars story.
Well, yeah, I mean, I actually really enjoy a movie, if it were, like, well done, obviously, about Darth Plagueis the Wise. That's a very cool story. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that is, you know, one of the gaps. A writer I like, Zach Parsons, he pointed this out, that, you know, all the key things that explain episode 2 are never shown. They're just kind of discussed a few times. Mm. And they're actually massive things, like how the clone army was created, which, if you're not paying very close attention, makes zero sense.
Well, though, there's also something to be said for the kind of leaving those mysteries unsolved, but unshown.
But
like, kind of setting up
they try to explain it.
All I want is a Star Wars television series in the model of The Wire about bureaucratic breakdown of either the Empire or the Republic or something, and just show like how this ridiculous contraption of a civilization actually functions.
So you're asking for like a political version of the Clone Wars series?
Just something.
Like that era.
Like, well, for me,
the one
bit of world building in any of the Star Wars movies that has come out since the original trilogy that actually kind of hit for me and made me feel like, okay, I kind of understand this world a little better, was in Solo, when they're in this spaceport and there's the giant recruitment ad for joining the Empire legions. And it's like, it pitched like an ad for the Marines or something. And it's like, okay, that kind of, that makes sense. And obviously it's like sort of a cheap, you know, reflection of our world, but at the same time it felt like I kind of got an understanding, because like otherwise the Empire's army is just these guys. They were clones for a while, now they're not anymore. At some point they stop being clones. That's never really explained. We know they're not clones anymore.
Clones
die
and they've got to recruit more. That's not difficult.
You can't just clone more?
No. Yeah.
They actually stopped using clones after the end of the Clone
Why
Wars.
Why not though?
They blew up the facilities and stuff.
Right.
When did they do that?
Why?
Is that in the movies?
No,
not in the movies.
No.
See, this is what I'm saying. If you got clones, just keep making clones.
Oh, you know what? It doesn't say more and loud. It says more blood. There you go.
More blood.
I just sorted out my notes.
Yeah.
Loud? What's more and what's loud?
By the way, that is the political message that we tell you on Chapo Trap House.
More blood?
No.
More
no.
and loud.
You got clones, make more clones.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know why people are mad at us all the time, but I don't think
it's
that's a
simple message.
I don't think that's too radical.
Clone the woolly mammoth.
Frankly, you're radical if you're opposed to more clones. That's what I say.
Clones for a better America.
Is there a torture scene in every Star Wars movie?
Good question.
I mean,
well, the prequels.
Yeah, exactly. How depending on Attack of the Clones, depending on your the whole thing is one. Big
Let's see. Star Wars. We see Princess Leia.
Leia gets tortured.
Yeah. Right. Empire. Han gets tortured.
Mm-hmm. Return of the Jedi. We see that droid getting tortured.
Yes.
That droid played by Kieran Shah.
That was a person in that?
Yeah. Kieran Shaw, that the world's like smallest stuntman, was the tortured gonk.
Isn't there torture in Last Jedi?
Yes. Snoke tortures Rey.
What's your definition of torture, then?
Well, she's screaming, and he's doing some mind thing on her, and she's screaming.
You can do a mind, if you're a Sith or something, you can do a mind torture.
When I think torture, I think Rogue One with, what's his name, the pilot.
He's the pilot. Bodhi.
Bodhi's
Bodhi.
The pilot.
Yeah, Bodhi Rook. When
Muhammad Atta.
Don't.
He gets put the boar gullet. Does that count
Save
as torture?
Save it for the next episode. Save it for tomorrow. with the brain slug.
Yeah.
Right.
That's torture. I don't think there was not a lot of torture in the prequels.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any torture in Phantom Menace. I'm doing a quick scan, mind scan, and I'm other than the audience, I can't think of anything other than anyone in the same room with Jar Jar Binks. I can't think of anyone being tortured.
I don't think there was either.
Yeah.
No.
George Lucas went off torture for the
period. He got soft.
Well, he was anti-torture. He was responding to the political circumstances at the time.
Although Return of the Jedi, he was clearly pro-torture. He's using it as like a gag.
Right.
Well, still,
yeah, you know what's funny?
It's
torture.
Still funny. It's still.
I hate that scene because it just raises so many questions. Why would you make a droid that felt pain?
Why? Why? Why was I programmed to feel pain?
They all are supposedly are programmed to feel pain.
No, but why?
Sadistic psychopathy.
Well, they probably don't feel it like we feel it. It's more of just
classic
torture.
The sound
excuse.
Of that, sure, it sounds like it feels it.
Yeah. Well, no, you feel something. I mean, okay, you would have to be sadistic to... Oh, wow. You would have to be sadistic to create something that feels in the way a human being does.
Aww.
That is sadistic.
Yeah, it is.
I picture it as like when C-3PO has his head lobbed off and put on a Separatist droid. He's like, this hurts. It tingles. Like, just like a little, prick, you know?
Yeah. Doesn't seem to be feeling any pain during that.
And C-3PO gets busted up a lot in these movies. Yeah. Well, screams.
Well, he doesn't scream.
Maybe he's just tough.
He's got a stiff upper lip.
He screamed, but the thing is, he must feel something because he's so craven.
Right. He definitely fears being killed, which is funny because he gets broken up all the time. You think by now he'd be like, they'll put me back together.
Well, it probably hurts, is my point, but not that much.
Right.
If you had an arm chopped off, that would probably hurt a heck of a lot.
Protocol kicks in, and he's like, "Well, I can't express my pain because that would be
he's
rude."
He's British. Don't forget, he's British.
That's true.
Keep calm and droid on.
Sorry to interrupt. I seem to be in pieces.
But yeah, more blood, which is a rarity in Star Wars.
Yeah, and we were talking about that. I think that, obviously the kind of blood-smeared helmet that we started out the movie with, we were trying to remember how much blood there's been, and already we have another...
Well, there will be blood.
Oh, so I've heard. We've already got kind of blood in a torture scene, which makes it kind of more... Even the Han Solo torture scene, which is probably the most graphic, unless the burning gonk feet count, but out of the original trilogy ones, so it wasn't blood, it was just kind of like electric sparks in a chair. And
steam, don't forget.
And steam, yeah. And then Leia cuts away before anything happens, and this we see that there's it's taking a physical toll on Poe. So
he's the most beat-up star pilot in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Well, do we have anything else for minute 17 before we move on to... More torture with Kylo Ren and tomorrow?
Is this the first time we see Kylo?
No.
I don't remember.
No, he comes off of the ship.
We saw him wrecking the village and stuff.
Right.
A couple of scenes when he captured.
He kills Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
I like Kylo Ren, that's all I'll say.
Oh.
I mean, I like him. I don't love him, but I don't know. The voice modulation's interesting. That kind of crap.
Yeah.
I like it.
Wah-wah filter.
Okay, so we'll be back tomorrow to talk more about Kylo Ren and the gang. And in the meantime, hey, guess what? We sell shirts and stuff. Shirts, phone cases, mugs, glasses, all that stuff.
Tapestries,
pillows.
Some socialist you are.
Go to Star Wars Minute. Oh, it all goes to the revolution, all the money we make.
Sure.
So go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch to do that. And join us tomorrow for another Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
You You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.